This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Two excellent guests this hour here on CCO. Again, Jason, basically Instagramming in Miami. Supposed to be a child visit for a college, and every time I go to Instagram, it's Jason doing something for Instagramming.
Yeah, it's like when he visits the oldest at NYU to basically ignore him and just go to restaurants around the city.
That's what he's doing now in Miami. Yeah, so Corzo in for him. So, I mean, actual talk show host in as opposed to just a Instagram influencer.
Yeah, that's a nice deal.
Yeah. Regular gig, Instagram influencer, side gig, kind of sort of 3 to 6 host.
Moonlighting, you could call it.
Yeah, that's right. What do you think of moonlighting the show?
Never watched it.
Never watched? Pretty
Not
good.
Before my time.
Pretty good. Well, we tried one phone for Kevin Burke, didn't get him, tried another. It worked out well because it allowed me to sneeze twice. I'm normally a 3-sneeze person. You?
It's between 2 and 3.
Two and three. Yeah?
Yeah.
Retired Hennepin County Judge Kevin Burke, longtime guest of this show, longtime friend of mine. Kevin Burke, when you sneeze, are you 1-sneeze guy, 2-sneeze, 3-sneeze, 4-sneeze?
Multiple.
Multiple.
Yeah. Yeah. More than one.
It's a key case, and one of the attorneys is asking a question, and it is a pivotal moment in the trial, and you're fighting off a sneeze. How does that work out, going back to Kevin Burke's time as a judge?
You just end up sneezing.
Yeah, you have to.
Say, excuse me. Yeah, look, you're not going to get it. Go away.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. No. How about the hiccups? Have you ever had the hiccups during a key case?
Nope. Haven't had that.
I was thinking about this one. I never had the hiccups calling a game, Harrigan. I mean, and most of the games I called until Pete came along to, you know, ruin my life, I called solo. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, the hiccups. I mean, what do you do?
Ever had them during a show?
No.
Probably by now it's guaranteed it'll happen tomorrow.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, did you get away to play any golf before we get to the seriousness this
week? Yes, I played with my daughter in Phoenix 2 rounds, and I played with a good friend in Palm Springs last week. So I had 3 rounds last week.
Kevin.
That's good.
I wish I would have known I was out there.
Huh?
I was out in Palm Springs. I wish I would have known that. I'm headed back, so if you go out there next year, let's line up some golf.
Because I'd
love to do it. Kevin Burke is one of the best legal minds this state has had. Longtime Hennepin County judge, and he's a great guest of this show. Part of this administration, Kevin Burke, as you know, has been this. We think we see the law one way, and if you don't, you're wrong, we're right. And we think you should defer to us because we're the administration, we're the president. And if you don't, we will threaten to impeach you. We will say you are the far left. And it has been the most powerful challenge of our court system in my lifetime, among all the aspects of the Trump administration, Trump 2.0, and the courts, what has concerned you most?
Well, I don't want to overreact to this, because I was thinking a lot about it in the last couple of days since you asked me to come on. And what I would say is this. Being in public life is a contact sport. So if you're a judge, you got to understand that, it's a contact sport. People are going to foul you. People are going to misinterpret what you say. All those other kind of things, I think, just is part of the life of being a public official or, in this case, a judge. It is true, though, that the degree of attacks on judges ought to give everybody some pause. So, for example, last summer when there was an assassination attempt on President Trump, many of his supporters blamed what they described as liberal Democrats' rhetoric led to this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, the same thing will be true about judges. The security of judges, if you end up seeing the rhetoric of some of the Trump supporters, is beyond impeachment. It's these people are out of control. They're taking away your government, your freedoms, and it's going to invite chaos. And then you kind of wonder, well, where would the next step be? Would the U.S. Marshals really take a dive on protecting judges? I doubt it. But the fact that it's out there and people are talking about judicial security because of this, it's not healthy. It's not healthy. There's nothing wrong with saying we believe in our legal position.
Mm-hmm.
We're confident
sure.
that an appellate court's going to do it. And then sometimes you win and sometimes you won't.
Is there one case where you think the Trump administration is most egregious in their criticism? And just the other way, is another can I just follow?
Yeah.
Is there another
yeah.
case where you think the Trump administration is getting criticism, but you look at it and say, I have no problem with what they're saying?
Well, I think I read the decision, the 37-page decision of the judge who has the deportation case in Washington, D.C.,
yep.
who they've been yelling at. It was a very thoughtful decision. And if you go on the New York Times website or maybe on Chad Hartman's website and get a link to it. But the bottom line is he was very cautious. And the government really doesn't come across very well. Is he took a recess at one point on Saturday and said, when are these planes taking off? He made it clear, hey, look, they have to be returned to this the United States if they left. It's not clear whether they had left yet or not. So those decisions to me are like perfectly okay. And then to escalate it to the point where next week there'll be hearings on out-of-control federal judges, or Mike Johnson suggesting today that we'll eliminate some federal courts. That doesn't make any sense.
Can we just stop? Can we stop that for a second? This is
sure.
the Speaker of the House saying because they don't agree with the ruling, which goes against the president, that they're going to eliminate that jurisdiction.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it is. It is because, you know, the bottom line is democracy is fragile. I mean, in all of our lifetimes for the 200 and some odd years of the country. Look, the bottom line is we've seen other societies' freedoms crumble. And so the courts play an important role. It's not that court judges will always get it right. There are buffoons.
No.
Who are judges. I get that. I'm not trying to say there aren't judges who make boneheaded moves, do things that don't make any sense, but that's why we have an appellate process.
Did the cell phone go? All right, we'll put Kevin on hold. This is retired Hennepin County Judge Kevin Burke, frequent guest of the show. Kevin is great as always, and we're talking about cases where there's troubling information. We're talking about the case involving the judge who's asking about the individuals who were reportedly gang members and were taken away and then cited a law, the administration cited a law from, 1798? And others have suggested, wait, shouldn't you try to give them their due process before they leave? Because there are multiple people saying that they were taken away and they had nothing to do with this gang. Kevin, we got you back. Just continue to expand on your point, sir, that we just lost you briefly.
The point, it seemed to me, is his decision was pretty simple. Is if you say somebody is a gang member, there ought to be some place to test whether that's true.
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear that the government had, the Trump administration had no interest in having anyone review whether it was true that these people were part of a gang. They even went to the stage of suggesting that the case was brought in the wrong part of the United States, as opposed to ending up saying, well, look, we have evidence that these people are in fact gang members. That's not hard to figure out. Okay, if they're gang members, they'll get deported, and if they're not, then you got to wonder, well, why? The other thing that's quite weird about the whole thing is about a month ago, the Trump administration identify the gang as a terrorist group. And there is a provision under another provision under federal immigration law that would allow some deportations. It's all a fight about the Alien Act of 1798, which, you know, it's not the most important issue facing our country, interpreting that act.
Let me ask you about another part that's come up that we both have noticed. This, again, is Kevin Burke, retired Hennepin County judge, where they are now directing federal law enforcement officials to seek sanctions against attorneys or law firms that challenge the president's actions in court. What does this mean now, Kevin? So if you decide to challenge and you have the legal route that is available to you where you could win or lose, even if you bring that up, the administration and its force is going to come after you?
The rules both in state and federal court do permit a judge in egregious cases to award sanctions against somebody for bringing a frivolous lawsuit. So the idea,
which makes sense, right?
Yeah, and that in I can't say I did it a lot. I didn't. I could probably count on one hand and have some fingers left, but it does happen. So the idea of seeking sanctions is not novel. But I think what people ought to think about is this. If you bring it this and you say every single time we want sanctions, we want sanctions, you lose all credibility. So you have judges who are appointed by various presidents, including Trump, who are going to be confronted with a motion for sanctions because it's frivolous. And perhaps it is, but most of the time it's not. It's, you know, we had a legitimate argument and you lost and you go to the appeals. The bigger problem, I think, is the sanctions that are being brought against law firms for who they represent. And that really is quite dangerous. Is, you know, if we go back to the South in the 50s when there was desegregation, there were a lot of law firms and lawyers who would be afraid to challenge segregation in schools. And there were a lot of judges who were equally afraid of getting people upset. We can't afford to return to that era in which people are afraid to go to court and can't find a lawyer because the lawyer's afraid to go to court with them.
Yeah, whether that's the Trump administration, whether that's at the state level, local level, that would have an incredibly chilling effect.
And if you wanted to also get a sense of, is this more serious or not, the fact that Chief Justice Roberts issued a press release on the impeachment issue, that tells me that at least at the highest levels of the judiciary, there are people who are quite worried about the rhetoric and actions taking to intimidate judges.
Let me ask you this about that. It was clearly directed at the president, but he didn't use his name. So then the president, when he was asked about it, said, well, he didn't mention me. I was glad that Justice Roberts said it. You know this better. If he was going to say it, should he have just taken it all the way and directed the comments towards the president himself?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think I'd prefer to applaud that he spoke out at all. I was have been critical over the years that Chief Justice Roberts did not speak out about the need to give Merrick Garland a hearing.
Yeah,
not that
right.
he could endorse him, but just say, look, you cannot so politicize the appointment process. And that had Roberts spoken out, it's possible Merrick Garland would have got a hearing. Whether he would have been confirmed, I don't know. But the idea that he needs to speak out more forcefully, he did it this time. Well, I don't think Trump's reaction was going to be any different no matter what he did. If he put his name in, if he put it in all caps, or he put it on Truth Social, Donald Trump wasn't going to defer to Chief Justice Roberts.
That is correct. Always great stuff, Kevin. Enjoy
it. Thanks for having me.
I will do it again. You know that. Retired Hennepin County Judge Kevin Burke. Don't forget Jamie Ukas. He's 10 minutes away. I know I'm going home, back to my place. And when I go in my house, I'm going to see Pella windows and doors, and I'm going to see a company that, by the way, put these windows and doors in this house over 20 years ago. I'm going to see Pella windows and doors and a major change in my kitchen area. I was reminded about it last night when I finally came back, and I went, dang, this kitchen looks good. And then eventually at some point this summer, I'm moving to a new place with Pella windows and doors again. Pella has been in business 100 years this year. Quality, innovation, excellence, exceptional service, and you can do the same thing as me. Free, no obligation, in-home consultation. You can go to a showroom, Plymouth, Woodbury, available. The windows will be made to order just for you. Styles, features, and options to fit your project and your budget. Again, 100 years of excellence. Now, for six more days, this offer from Pella. 40% off installation or 0% APR for 48 months. I know there's a lot of competitors in the window and door business, but simply put, go with the best. You're only the best if you're in business for 100 years. Pella Windows and Doors, check them out. PellaNorthland.com.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Let's turn the mic on. Step A to be a talk show host. Turn your mic on. Step B doesn't matter if you don't turn step A. That's the class I'm teaching right now. I'm in a new studio. It's throwing me off.
Plus, I believe it used to not be your own job. It was the
studio technician's job to turn the mics on and off for the host, right? You couldn't be trusted with your own button?
That was a point of contention when I started here with one Daniel J. Cook, because he's just so good and so meticulous. Unlike you, you're haphazard.
I don't care.
You don't really care.
I don't care at all.
Dan was always turning my mic on and off. I'm like, Dan, I can do it. And then the first time I did like that, Dan was over there just like... Exactly. Dan, like, oh, thought you could turn your bike on, could you? Really?
Yeah. You want to take control of this
piece? Yeah, really?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So you pointed out in your voluminous email that you send me on a morning basis, which I appreciate, that the American version of The Office debuted 20 years ago yesterday.
Correct.
I was traveling, so we couldn't discuss it yesterday. So we're going to go quick on this because Yukis is with us, and we'll carry this to Yukis. What is a dominant television show that you just never got, that you don't see why the whole world loved it? And I've tried The Office a couple times, and I'm not saying I watch it and I'm repelled. It's like hornets are coming at me, you know. The killer bees. Have we had our first report? This is about the time when we hear the killer bees are assembling where? Like in, I don't know, the Kremlin. And they're on their way to get us.
Bagwell and Biggio?
You know, they're coming. The killer bees are. Is this a cicada summer or was last year the cicada?
We've had a couple cicada summers.
Cicada summers.
With the killer bees, they were what, Pacific Northwest last year, right?
I think so. More normally, I think of Texas, right? They're coming from Texas.
Oh, Houston, Astros.
Exactly. Bagwell Biggio. Inner 1990s Houston Astro ball taking place here, you know. Who else is on that team? Enos Cabell. Let's go next, you know. J.R. Richard. No, that was easy 80s. So when I see clips of The Office, I chuckle. You know what I have watched a couple times of The Office is when they said goodbye to Steve Carell and they surprised him. And it was on air, and they sang this song to him. And at first, he thought it was a part of the show. But then he was overwhelmingly touched because they genuinely were saying goodbye because they knew how important he was. And I think that's great. But did I get The Office as much as most? I didn't. I loved the Gervais Office. I thought about trying it because I think Carell is very funny.
Yeah.
Krasinski's very good. There's so many other good cast members. Maybe I need to try it again. Friends.
That's my number one.
It's not that good. I'm sorry.
I am repulsed by Friends.
I'm not repulsed by it, but
it's awful.
I just realize it's not funny, and apparently we're just better than you people.
Yeah.
We're going to see if when you disagree from us, you people.
That'll go well.
That'll work out well. Yeah, Friends. No, not funny.
Another one, Frasier. I did not find Frasier funny at all.
I loved him when he appeared on Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Cheers could bring on so many different people throughout its run, and they could become so intrinsic and so funny and so essential. Brilliant. But on his own? Eh. By the way, man, did Kelsey milk that character for a long time.
They brought the show back a couple years ago,
20
right?
years or so. Then they brought it back, and 2 years maybe it lasted?
Yeah.
Maybe. Now this one is gonna many Daniel J. Cook references today. Game of Thrones. It didn't live up to the hype. I'm sorry.
No, Boys not for you.
No, I mean, first of all, the last season was a disaster. A disaster. Okay, I watched it. I thought it was pretty good, but when people try to put Game of Thrones in the pantheon, the upper echelon. Get out of here. Get out of here. What other television shows are massively popular and you say, you give the Dikembe Mutombo, in honor of the late Dikembe Mutombo, you finger wave. Finger wave. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Quentin loved that commercial when it was Dikembe.
So good.
So darn good. Even in honor of Dikembe, they still should play that commercial.
Rejecting the bag of potato chips as it's being tossed into the car.
Good. Amazing NBA player, but he did so much for charity work. Unbelievable. And he died way too soon. What's a TV show that you never got? Text away, 651-461-9226. We'll ask Jamie Yukis that and other points with Jamie when she makes her regular appearance here on CCO in moments. Jamie, like all of our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jamie, I set up this topic just before you came on board. I want you to answer it also. The Office, the American version of The Office, debuted 20 years ago.
No.
And I just thought it was okay. Okay? I tried it a couple times, thought it was fine, and clearly I'm in the minority. So the topic was a show, a television show, which became very popular, and you just didn't get it. We also offered up Friends, because Dave and I both think Friends is massively overrated.
Younger than both of you, and I think it was a huge hit with a certain generation.
Nope. Dave's younger than you.
Well, then that's silly.
Yeah.
Then you're wrong. And you're just stupid.
No, I, like, that was a shit. Friends, well, I've heard this argument before. I get it. Yep. I just think it was, like, it was one of those shows that I loved the women in that show. I wanted their haircut. I thought they were so cute. Like, and then all the boys. There was this, like, idea that you wanted to live in New York. And I
was too old in the 90s to identify with that. I was like 30. I was in my late 20s a lot of the time.
I was in my teens. I was like a teenager. It looked so glamorous and amazing, and the people were all pretty.
And then you went there and were almost shot every other day, and you thought a different version.
That's not true.
I'm kidding. You know I like
that's
New York.
Not true.
Yeah. Okay. So we've established you're wrong on Friends, Dave. If we come, let's take a vote. Jamie, right or wrong? Wrong.
Two for wrong.
Two for wrong. Yeah, exactly. Okay, you, a show that you look at, and it's really popular, and you think, what the hell? What's wrong with you people?
Well, I have to say, that's a hard one. I will say, I started watching both Breaking Bad and Ozarks and liked it. But then COVID happened, and I couldn't finish either one. So I know it's not the same thing as what you're talking about.
COVID happened, and you were locked in your house. You should have finished.
Both of them are too dark for me. Yeah. I couldn't handle it.
Breaking Bad is phenomenal, but you're right.
Need to revisit it.
Yeah, you should. But there are some shows which are very dark. No doubt. Let me read a few of the texts. I want a few more coming in. 651-461-9226. Friends, Game of Thrones, Curb, never watched a second of it. I would be blocking this person. Get out of here. Seinfeld, Ted Lasso, South Park, King
Wrong.
Of the Hill. Okay, but let's say this about Ted Lasso. Season number one, beautiful, phenomenal, just at the right time. Seasons two and three, not as good.
I love them. Stop. You have no soul.
Well, I mean, that's true, but it has nothing to do with the topic. Dave Harrigan, now remind me, did you watch Ted Lasso, Harrigan?
At least the first two seasons. I can't remember if I've seen the third or not, no.
Second season dropped off, right?
They're bringing it back now for a fourth, so you all have an opportunity.
For cash. I mean, come on. If you say you're ending it, then nothing's really going on in Jason Sudeikis' career. And now the fourth happens. It's a dash for cash, right?
The problem is...
I don't want to believe that, but it does appear that way.
Thank you.
The show peaked in season one at the dart scene.
The dart scene
is one of the great scenes of TV history.
I agree. I loved it. Just absolutely loved it.
Okay. Yeah. Continue.
Yeah. Well, we're saying...
You peaked there, and it's been slow descent since
then.
Yeah,
it is. It is. Wow.
I don't agree. I mean, I think I've made that clear.
The Tiger King. Give me a break. The Tiger King was garbage. It was just...
But it was meant to be garbage.
Well, that's the question. If you make a show, and then people are laughing at it and putting in that category, there are times that you wanted in that category all the time, Jamie, and other times you thought it was really like Shakespeare. But then you have to buy into it, right? If you push back, you're missing out on it.
I guess. So I just Googled just to see, because I feel like I can never, like, think of these things on the spot.
Yeah.
I Googled most overrated TV shows of all time. Okay. So Friends comes up as number one.
Thank you. Thank you. Once again, we're right.
The Big Bang Theory comes up as number two. Never saw it.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
The Walking Dead comes up as number three. Never saw it.
Saw a little.
Breaking Bad, I just told you I stopped watching.
Stop. Terrible list.
Game of Thrones. I did love Game of Thrones in the beginning. I did not like the last season.
Thank you.
How I Met Your Mother, I also never saw.
Yeah. Ugh.
Seinfeld, I don't agree. I love Seinfeld. Lost, I actually really liked Lost.
Lost was fantastic until the finale, and I know they couldn't solve everything, but the way it came together disappointed me so much. But Lost was such a unique, different show, don't you think?
Yeah, totally.
I got a few more. Okay, keep going.
AI says that I should also look at the shows that people can't stop talking about that are terrible. Number one, Gilmore Girls. Never saw it. This Is Us.
Oh, wait a second.
I liked This Is Us.
I sometimes like crying five times during a TV show,
This
Is Us provided it. I enjoyed This Is Us.
All right. The White Lotus is on this list.
Well, okay. So I have not started this year's White Lotus. That is going to be corrected ASAP, including maybe tonight. Okay.
You're kind of one of the lucky ones then, because it started off slow. And now you're like, oh my, what's going to happen?
Yeah. But I need to still watch the first couple episodes, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You're getting to binge where the rest of us had to watch them, you know?
Dave is looking over at us with a bemused look. What is that look on your face, Eric? And what are you trying to tell us?
Are you eating something, Jamie? Do you have like a Jolly Rancher in your mouth?
Yes, I keep muting my phone.
Okay. Let's go. Guess what candy Jamie has in her mouth. 651-461-9226. Jolly Rancher.
It's actually not candy. It's not candy.
Oh, not candy. I was going to go peanut M&Ms.
Mm, those sound good, but
nope. Not candy.
Tuna sandwich.
Oh, I make, I make tremendous tuna. Tremendous tuna.
Actually hate canned tuna, so nope.
Oh, you would love mine. Trust me.
Okay.
Trust me. If you come back.
Mr. Ego here.
If you come back at some point this summer, I'm making you my tuna. You'll be like, you were right, Chad. You were right. In fact, Chad, you're always right. You know,
and I hate Friends.
Yeah. Exactly.
Can I ask you guys a question
today? Of course. How about this? Hold on. That's our tease. What is Jamie Yuccas consuming, and what will she ask us? That's next. 651-461-9226. Let's talk Stretch Lab. Jamie loves yoga. So Jamie would love Stretch Lab, where you go in to 11 Twin Cities metro area locations, and they are so successful. It wouldn't shock me in a couple weeks if I say, hold on, no longer 11, 12 Twin Cities area locations, where professional stretch therapists who have been trained for months by pros like my buddy Kevin and others, and Zach included, where they know exactly what you need to do to help your hamstrings, your glutes, because I made up that. It's your glutes. I call them glutes because they don't activate all the time. Upper back, lower back, they will work with you. I love them. I've been going since 18. I bring my son, Quentin, with health issues. When I go in there, I could see someone in their 80s who looks like Harrigan, because Harrigan is 40 and looks like 80, or somebody who's getting ready to play high school sports. They'll work with everybody. It's stretchlab.com, and if you go off hearing this spot, half off your first visit. Don't wait. Stretchlab.com. Jamie Yuccas, we have any questions for Jamie? She has a question for us. Elton John, Jamie Yuccas, 78 today. Dave Harrigan, do we believe Jamie has interviewed Elton John? I'm going to say no, but I'm not convinced. I am correct. Dave Harrigan, do you believe Jamie Yuccas has interviewed Elton John?
I'll just be the contrarian to you. I'll say yes.
Okay, do you think
he very much enjoyed it?
And do you think Jamie Yuccas has attended an Elton John concert? I mean, yes on that one.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
What do we have?
Well, I have not interviewed Elton John, but I did attend his concert at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, well, la-dee-da. Of course, you couldn't attend here like the Caboose or something.
I live in Los Angeles.
That's right. You abandoned us. I forgot that. That song's Philadelphia Freedom. He wrote that about Billie Jean King.
Oh.
Yeah? Pretty good, right?
Who I've met and interviewed several times.
Oh, see, it all came together.
Yeah, it's all one big family.
Oh, it all came together. Okay, we have various guesses. Oh, let me mention this, too, by the way. Your Linda's time check is time for to get your home improvement project committee now before April 1st when spring manufacturing prices increase. So get that done. Here are some of the guesses. Jack Daniel's flavored ice cubes. Okay. Jawbreaker, beef jerky, Oscar Mayer, grapes. And the correct answer is, Jamie, you told me, so I'll leave it up to you.
You don't want to share? I texted it to you.
Fritos.
For the love of Fritos.
Fritos. Overrated, underrated, properly rated? I think they're properly rated.
I think they're properly rated.
Yep. Dave Harrigan, Fritos. Over, under, proper.
Properly as a bottom rung chip.
Whoa, bottom rung.
Impressive.
Oh, geez, you're patting the Frito on the head saying, you're okay, Frito.
Yeah. Everyone knows you don't really amount to much.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez, to get out of our way, but you're fine. You're fine. Okay, what is your question for us? I'm tingling with excitement.
Okay, here's a scenario.
Yeah.
Let's say you have a young person in your life.
Yep.
And they've just started, like, text messaging.
Mm.
And they have an adult send them a picture. This is a little boy. Send them a picture of hair extensions and say, meet Valentina. Is this weird or not weird?
Okay. Does he know this person?
Yeah.
Okay. He knows the adult who's sending the picture. And it's of hair extensions, and it says, meet Valentina. So this is like, meet someone else named Valentina?
Yes. Weird or not weird?
So I would say this. It depends on the friendship or the relationship with this person and whether this younger person knows Valentina. And if it's not that close a friendship or they have no idea who Valentina is, then it's getting weird. Dave, what are your thoughts?
It's 100% it's weird. I don't know the level of weirdness without diving a little deeper into it. Perhaps there is a very good explanation, and it's only slightly weird, but
okay, so in other words, it's a variation of our game. So in this case, it'd be weird, weirder, or weirdest.
Well, and I'm asking this because have you guys watched, since we're talking about TV shows too, it just got me in the line of thinking. Have you watched Adolescence on Netflix?
I just did this weekend. Wow. I need a longer segment to discuss this show. It is powerful. It is emotional. It is about bullying. It's about phones. It's about parents, what they know and don't know. And also the acting is unbelievable.
But I'm asking because now I feel like in our household, we're having to ask a lot of questions. Is this weird? Is this not weird? Are these messages appropriate? Are they not appropriate?
Fair. That is 100% fair because this kid, Jamie, who is the star, and this is his first time acting, correct? I believe.
He's amazing. Yeah.
That's it. This third episode, the emotions he shows with the therapist, Jamie, there are times I was about to get off my couch because I was so uncomfortable watching this.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, it was stunning. And if you are involved, like the two of you are involved with the younger kids, I told Dave, you have to watch it. And I told Dave he should want his daughters to be 25 right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, look, there's a lot of themes in it, right? Like, even if they're 25, I think the toxic masculinity and the you know, the male influencers happening right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I think even at 25, you're not necessarily escaping some of the stuff that
no.
they talk about.
No, it's it was a watch that show all in one setting sort of situation for me.
That's what I did, too. I watched it all this weekend.
Really, really good. Great visit, as always. Do you miss the fact that I'm not in the same state as you now? Does it seem different?
You're actually, you seem more engaged with Dave, so I'm happy for you.
Well, he's right here. I mean, I'm looking at his fascinating, handsome face. It's hard to...
Like, we never would have gotten to the bottom of what I was crunching on if you hadn't been in studio, because he would have just politely not said anything.
Yeah, well, I was politely avoiding it, and Dave couldn't. I mean, when it was like this. All right, we got to go. See ya.
Bye.
DeRussia, we don't even know where he is. I mean, he's taking pictures of himself somewhere right now. How sick is Alyssa of taking pictures of Jason at this point?
I mean, you could have asked that 15 years ago.
Oh, my God. Corzo is in. Again, if you've turned around a parking lot at Hubbard, there's a decent chance you work here. And this guy's good. Other people, eh? Corzo knows what he's doing. He'll stir it up, I guarantee you, for the next 3 hours. For an alternate studio show, when the first 5 hours of the day were a complete mess for me, this was tolerable. That's what we're looking for. We're trying to get through 12 segments. We did. See you, everybody.